Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today I want to talk about numbers. I think that, you know, sometimes we overlook some of the significance about numbers in the Bible and what significance they have. And so I just wanted to talk about it a little bit today. You know, most numbers, they carry some symbolic purpose, right? So if you think about like seven, for instance, seven means completeness or perfection, just like the number three. But we also have to consider that not all numbers are good, right? Six, symbolizes incompleteness or weakness, right? Like, you know, God created man on the sixth day, but he wasn't done, right? He completed on the seventh day. He rested and he completed it, right? That's when it was finished, right? And we also in the number six see a trinity of really incompleteness and weakness in the devil's number, right? 666. And you can go look at Revelations 13:18 and talk about that, where it kind of talks about the mark of the beast. But in the Bible, numbers have tons of purposes, right? They convey something significant, or, you know, in that narrative, they can be like prophetical or spiritual or symbolic, or there's just some very significant things that occur as we look at the Bible and the numbers that are represented within the Bible. And what I want to do today is I want to talk about two of these numbers, right? I want to talk about the number three, and I want to talk about the number seven, because personally I've seen how much importance that they have had in my own life. And I want to dig into them a little bit more, and since I'm an IT guy, right, I've talked about that before, I love data. I love to do the research and figure out what's happening. I love researching the truth and understanding how everything fits together, right? I refuse to believe that the Bible's just this thing that was made up. And as you look at the significance and the numerical, kind of mathematical equations within the Bible, you're going to recognize that, holy crap, this isn't just by chance. And so I'm going to start with the number three, right? What does the number three mean in the Bible? And before we dive into that number, we really need to explore what the meaning of that number is in the Hebrew language, right? And many numbers in Hebrew, they have a much deeper meaning, right? Three, for example, is shalosh, or shalosha, which means harmony and new life and completeness. You know, that's three things, right? Harmony, new life, completeness. And that number three, it appears in the Bible like over 460 times, right? Now, that's a lot less than the number seven, but more than most other important numbers in the Bible. And sometimes three is used to describe the intensity of something, right? It's not just holy, it's holy, holy, holy. So we have to keep in mind that three may not always be good, right? Most of the time it's gonna, but in Revelations we see this evil trinity that I talked about, right? Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, right? That's Revelations 12 and 13. Chapters 12 and 13, if you go read them all. But typically, three means something complete, something good. And Satan doesn't often like to take something good from God. Let me restate that. Satan wants to take something good from God and corrupt it. That's why he has taken that number three, because it's the concept of the Trinity, right? So Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, right? That's three, like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Satan's using that to corrupt it. He wants to corrupt it, period. Right? And so I want to look at several ways that the number three is significant in the Bible, right? Like I said, over 460 references. I think it's actually 467, but I think it depends on the translation, and maybe it doesn't, but in my research, it's 467 references to the number three. So I just want to look at like eight of them. And the first one is usually, you know, God will say something three times. We see throughout Scripture, God repeats himself. You know, Jesus goes back to pray in the Garden of Gethsemane three times, right? Matthew 26:3. God calls the prophet Samuel three times, right? Jesus repeats the phrase, feed my sheep, to Peter three times in John 21. You can go over and over and over and talk about the three times God says something, the times that he repeats himself three times, to recognize that it's important. If we look in the Bible and we see three of the same words, that's important, right? We see several instances of it, right? If you look at Revelations 8:13, right? We're called out by an eagle in Revelation, foreshadowing terrible judgment, right? Jeremiah repeats the word land three times in Jeremiah 22:29. And we hear the three of holies in Isaiah, right? Isaiah 6:3 says, holy, holy, holy. Now, I don't think we would be doing three justice if we didn't talk about the third day. Right? We can't talk about three without saying, you know, Jesus rose on the third day, right? That's 1 Corinthians 15:4, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And at that time, and maybe even today, I'm not Jewish, so I didn't study the current Jewish culture, but in that time, in the Jewish culture, 3 days past the time of death indicated that you were truly dead. You were dead, you're not coming back. That was it. It was over. There was no coming back from being dead for 3 days. So for Jesus to wait until the third day to come back, to be resurrected, what he's saying is he really conquered death. He rose, he waited until the third day, right? Till the culture said, you're really dead. You're not just sick, you're not just sleeping, right? You're dead. And then in scripture, we can see that there's three patriarchs, right? Jesus talks about in Matthew 22:32, he talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the fathers of the Israelite nation. It's God's people, right? There's three prayers, right? In early Christians, maybe people haven't recognized this, but if you look at like Psalms 55:17, it talks about, you know, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice, right? In Daniel 6:10, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before, right? So I think in that early Jewish culture, it was customary to pray three times a day. And then we look at like the three gifts, right? When Jesus was born and the Magi came, you know, they brought in gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And you can read that in Matthew 2. And then there's also the Trinity, of course, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But there's also three nails. There was a nail in each hand, in each wrist. And there was a nail in his feet. There's three nails. There's also three people on crosses, one on each side of it. In Revelation 14:6-16, we encounter three angels, right? The first one tells all of the earth to worship God. The second talks about the fall of Babylon. And the third says anybody who gets the mark of the beast is going to get God's wrath, right? Anyone who receives the mark of the beast will receive God's wrath. I think that the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what should we remember about the number three, right? That even numbers aren't outside God's grasp. That's what we have to remember. God has ordered the world to follow a mathematical, numerical pattern, period. We can see this in his design, right? How numbers operate even in nature. And knowing that everything on earth points back to the truth and the fact that God exists. And because everything in nature does that, right? We can see this design on how the numbers operate. We have no excuse not to praise God. You know, I know I talked about it a little bit, but, you know, three is important in terms of the Trinity. And it's not just saying, hey, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, right? But if God is one, right, one and one, one and done, there's no, you know, Trinity, there's no, you know, Son and Holy Spirit, he would either be dependent on us, humans, right? He would be dependent on us to satisfy his loneliness. Or worse, he would have created us to appease his needs. And if he did those things, that really shows that his power is limited. You know, in that model, we would be slaves to God, right? It's kind of like the Canaanites' gods of old, right? God doesn't need us. He has love in his very essence for us, right? The Trinity allows for God not to be dependent on our existence, but for every part of his being to be, for lack, just so full of love, right? Each person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, giving of himself to each other, what I'm saying is, because of that, right? Because of this, the Trinity that's capable of loving each other, that's loving himself, loving, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, his creation of us is an act of love. It has nothing to do with dependence or need. That little, like, big thing, I guess, is important for us to understand. You know? And look, the number three, it carries this extreme significance throughout Scripture. I mean, it's this prophetic fulfillment to the nature of our prayers, right? And as Christians, we have to remember to keep an eye open for any instance we see of something representing three in Scripture. It's either pointing to something or showing the completeness of something. It's pretty simple, right? So I've talked a little bit about the number three. I want to talk about the number seven also, right? Because I said I'm going to talk about two of them. And for me, I think seven's a very significant number. You know, it represents completeness. It represents perfection. I mean, at the very beginning, right, God created the earth, including the day that he rested, right? The day that he rested was the seventh day. You know, and I think in Exodus, you know, we see this model of that same cycle from God, right, where he's saying, you know, work and labor for 6 days and then rest, right? That's the day of the Sabbath, the holy day. And so he's saying, here's how I did it, and I want you to kind of replicate that. But I never realized until I started to do this research how important it is, right? I recognize that seven also represents completeness at the cross. And in my research, I recognized and I found, and I've read tons of articles and tons of, you know, different people have written about this. And I went and read it myself and I recognized, holy cow, it's there. But on the cross, Jesus spoke seven things of agony. Right? He said, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. He said, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Right? And that's a statement of agony because he's dying. Right? He's gonna die that day. He says, women, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. Right? So he's trying to say, look, this is going to be hard. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He said, I thirst. He said, it is finished. That's a big one, right? He said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He's going home, right? Seven statements on the cross. Completeness, right? When he says it's finished, it's done. It's complete. It's perfect. Another instance that I never realized was, you know, in Matthew 6, when people ask, like, hey, Jesus, how do we pray? And Christ is teaching us how to pray. And when he's teaching us the Lord's Prayer, which is the perfect way to pray, right? Since it's the word, you know, comes from Christ himself, right? He says, this is how you do it. But in that prayer, he makes seven requests, or seven petitions in the prayer, right? And it starts, you know, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Seven. It's just the amazement. And when you think about these different things, right? This is from Matthew 6. But then if we look at John, and Christ is describing himself, he again uses seven metaphors, right? As a path to salvation. As the reward for living a faithful life, right? You know, the bread of life, the light of the world, the gate of salvation, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth and the life, the vine, right? Seven metaphors. And you know, the thing is Matthew wrote his and John wrote his. And then, you know, there's another one where Luke, you know, I think Luke, you know, wrote a bunch of stuff too. And the sevens are still there. They're all telling a story at different times of what really happened, of what Jesus really said. And it represents completeness. And even if you look back at the Old Testament, right, when Elijah brings a boy back to life, he sneezes seven times, right? You can go read it. It's in 2 Kings 4:8-35, right? And when I read this story about the I'm going to butcher this name, the Shunammite's son, in my mind, right, it says the boy sneezed seven times and he opened his eyes. I picture that with every sneeze, more life comes back. Every time he sneezes, right, starts to get more color. He, you know, maybe he sneezes and wiggles his fingers and his toes, and he sneezes and, you know, you can see him start to breathe a little bit. The boy becomes perfectly healed on the seventh sneeze and opens his eyes. Like, think about that. I don't know. To me, that there's so many things that represent seven that is just amazing to me. You know, I've said it before, I ride with Bikers for Christ, and in Bikers for Christ, we wear a 777 patch. And whenever people would ask about it, I would tell them that it, you know, well, it represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that, you know, the number seven represents perfection in the Bible. You know, sometimes, you know, depending on who would say it, I would say those things, and maybe I'd make some joke, right? You know, my God's stronger than yours, right? Because 777 is better than 666. But now I feel like that there's so much more that I need to say about the number seven. I feel like I can use this patch that says 777 as another tool in my ministry belt. I can show the completeness within these numbers because of the research that I've done. And that's what it's about, right? When we're called to go and make disciples, teaching them, baptizing them, we got to be prepared. And one thing I know, the Bible has the number seven appearing over 700 times. From the 7 days of creation to the many different numbers of seven in Revelation, right? In Revelation alone, I'm not going to go through them all, but there's seven churches, seven golden lampstands, seven stars, seven spirits of God, seven seals, seven thunders, seven horns, and on and on and on. You see where I'm going with this, right? The number seven in the Bible is significant. It represents completeness and perfection, exoneration and healing, and the fulfillment of the oaths and promises from God. So look, here's the bottom line. Numbers are important. They are important in the Bible. We can often overlook this because of our culture. Maybe it doesn't have the same emphasis on the numbers system or the number symbolism of numbers that they had back then, right? That when you know, the early biblical scholars, you know, wrote the the Old Testament and the Torah and then the New Testament. But by looking at these scriptures in context, we can dive really deep. We can dive so deep into God's word to understand that you can't come to any conclusion other than it's true. So here's my challenge. My challenge for you is to go look for these things. Go look for where it's something is repeated three times. When a word is repeated three times, go figure out why. Or when you see something that talks about seven, right, like the seven churches in Revelation, go do some research and understand that. Figure out why seven is so significant for yourself. Don't just listen to what I'm saying. What I'm trying to do is get people to get you or whoever's listening to get people to want to learn more for themselves. I could spend hours and hours and hours and hours and hours talking about numbers in the Bible, but that doesn't do any good unless you go do the research yourself. So my challenge is to go look. Go do the work. Go research it. And if you don't want to go research it through the Bible, just hit up Google, figure it out, right? You're gonna read some of the same things I've talked about today. This isn't some magical thing that I came up with in my mind, right? Lots of people have done research on this. Lots of people have said the exact same things I've said, maybe worded a little different. But that's because it's true. You don't need to change the truth. Doesn't make it any more true. Doesn't make it any less true. So I challenge you to figure it out. I challenge you to go dig in. Remember, right? Perfection, number seven. Remember the Trinity in the number three. Think about the cross. Think about the three nails. Think about the 3 days. Pray that the God of our fathers, that our Savior, Jesus Christ, that the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, pray that His Spirit will guide you down the path that you need. That's my prayer for you. My prayer is that God's going to open your eyes, that the scales are going to fall away, and that you're going to see the truth. Because when you do, you'll never be happier. It's not going to be easy. That's when the problems start. That's when the trials begin, right? The minute you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when the devil's coming. So you got to be prepared with the tools. Just like I said, I'm going to use that 777 patch as another tool in my ministry belt because I can show the completeness and the perfection in that number. And I pray that you're going to see the same thing. That your eyes are opened. Look, this is Rick with the Nomad Pastor. I appreciate you listening. If you like this, subscribe. Share it with your friends. Let them know. If you got questions, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. If you want to be on the podcast, send me an email and we'll talk about it. We'll figure it out. I wish you guys have a blessed week. And just, I pray that you will open the word and see the truth. Thanks. Have a nice day.